Did you know that the Jews actually spent 430 years in Egypt in captivity, and yet God only willed 400 years? They spent 30 years extra in bondage. Today, we're going to tell you why, so stay tuned.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing to talk about not only how to find God's will for your life, but then to find the plan for accomplishing that will. And then today we're going to start talking about the timing. And we've been taking this from the life of Moses. And I tell you, I've learned so much from Bible characters that I don't have to experience and learn everything by hard knocks. I think that's a better way of doing it. And yet most people just ignore this instruction. But we've already shown from Exodus chapter 2, when Moses went out and killed that Egyptian, most people follow the way that Cecil B. DeMille's depicted Moses in the Ten Commandments, and they think that he did this just because he was a nice guy and he saw somebody who was being treated unjustly, and so he defended him. But according to Acts chapter 7 and verse 25, it says that when Moses killed this Egyptian, he supposed that his brethren would understand how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. Which is what that means is Moses knew he was a Jew. He knew he was called to bring deliverance to the Israelites. And yet he went out and tried to accomplish that in his own might, in his own power. And this is where I believe more people fail than any other area. There's a lot of people that know what God wants them to do, and they're trying to fulfill it, but they have not a clue about how does God want to accomplish it. So I've really tried to stress that you need to not only know God's will, but you need to know God's plan for accomplishing that will. And more people are derailed, I believe, after they start in the right direction than at any other time. And so that's what we've emphasized. Today, what I want to talk about is that Moses missed another key ingredient in bringing God's will to pass, and that is that he was totally unaware or totally ignored the timing for God's will for his life. You will find this out, that God not only has a will for you and a plan for you, but he has a timing for all of this to come to pass. And most of this timing is really dependent upon us, upon our own maturity and different types of things like this. But you can't ignore the timing of the Lord. Over in Genesis chapter 15, there's a very important piece of information. And this is where God was speaking to Abraham. And it says in Genesis chapter 15 and in verse 13, he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance, and thou shalt go unto thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Now this is God speaking to Abraham about when the children of Israel would come out of this bondage, and he prophesied here that it would be 400 years that they would be in this bondage. Now let's contrast that with Exodus chapter 12, and I believe it's verse 40. And this is after all of the plagues in the land of Egypt. And it says in Exodus chapter 12, verse 40, now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. So this here says that the children of Israel actually spent 430 years in bondage. Genesis chapter 15 says that it would only be 400 years. There's a 30-year discrepancy here. Well, how do you harmonize all of this? Well, if you go back over again to Acts chapter 7, we've already used that passage of Scripture, but it says that when Moses went out and saw this Egyptian smiting one of his brethren, a Hebrew, and he killed him, that Moses was 40 years old. Later, we find in Hebrews chapter 11 that when Moses came back and brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, that he was 80 years old, that he spent 40 years in this wilderness. So if you subtract the time that 40 years that he spent in the wilderness from the time that the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, if you subtract that 40 from 430, that means that when Moses killed the Egyptian, it was only in the 390th year of their captivity, 10 years before the prophecy of Genesis chapter 15 was fulfilled. Now, this is very significant because, again, if Moses knew that God had called him to bring deliverance to the Jews, he just supposed the way God was going to do it, and he also ignored the timing. Either he was ignorant of the prophecy of Genesis 15, which I find that unlikely because the Jews had this oral history that they grilled into their children and they knew all of these things. And I believe that Moses probably was aware of the timing and realized that this was only the 390th year of their captivity. But what I believe probably happened is the same thing that happens to a lot of us today, and that is that we just ignore the instruction of God's Word because we see the situation is so severe, it's so bad, we just rationalize in our own thinking and we do things our way and exalt our wisdom above God. See, Moses could have, if he would have known about this prophecy and if he knew that it was still 10 years before the prophecy of Genesis 15 would be completed, Moses could have looked at it this way and then he said, "But God, look at the tens of thousands of Israelites that are dying every year under this cruel slavery, and they're being put to death. It's this Egyptian slavery that's doing this, and certainly, God, you wouldn't want these Jews just to continue another 10 years. I know that you've anointed me to do this. God, I'm ready to do it." And he had the military might and the position in the Egyptian government. He just supposed and reasoned a lot of things and ignored this timing. But here's what he didn't figure. He was probably thinking, you know, let's just say that there was 10,000 Israelites per year that died under slavery with their prayers unanswered. And if there was another 10 years to go, then 10 times 10,000, that's 100,000 Jews. He could have said, "God, but there's 100,000 of my brethren that are going to die without ever seeing their fulfillment of their prayers, what they're waiting on." And he could have just let that override some other things. See, the same thing happens today. The scripture, I've used this already, but in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the scripture says, "Don't put a novice into a position of authority, leadership." In other words, there needs to be a time for a person, once they come to the Lord, to grow and mature and get the character and maturity built in them that they need. And yet we constantly, consistently ignore that scripture. And we just do things, "But God, people are dying and going to hell, and I've got to go out and reach everybody that I can." And so we don't take the time to prepare and let God mature us. And we go out because we feel like the situation is so urgent. And we do things like that all of the time. You know, I remember when I was just getting started in ministry, I heard Billy Graham make a statement. And he said that if he knew that he had 3.5 years left before the second return of the Lord, and he knew to the day what day the Lord would return on, that he would spend 3 years of that time shut up with God, seeking God and letting God work in his life, and 6 months worth of ministry. And when I heard that, man, I said, "There is no way." I said, "That is irresponsible. That is absolutely wrong. Man, if I knew I had 3.5 years, I'd be out today beating the streets, witnessing and ministering to everybody that I can." You know, I shared this in my Bible college one day, and I had a couple of my Bible college students just nearly freak out over this, saying, "That is absolutely irresponsible to just sit before God for 3 years." But see, what they're missing is that if you were to stay in the presence of God and just get saturated in the anointing of God, you would accomplish more in 6 months with the anointing of God and the wisdom of God than you could accomplish in 3.5 years in your own ability. And youth doesn't see that. And I don't guess that I'm going to change anybody's impression. If you're a youth, you probably react the same way I did 30-something years ago. But I'm telling you now that you will accomplish more doing it God's way and in God's timing and under God's leadership than you will ever accomplish in your own mind. And here's another thing. Here's another statistic that people miss. You may sit there and, like Moses, say 10,000 people a year die for 10 years. That's 100,000 people. God, it's unacceptable. But did you know this? Because of Moses' self-will, he had to spend 40 years in the wilderness until he got usable and God could bring him back. And now if you add all of these figures up, the children of Israel, according to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 40, came out in the 430th year of this captivity, which meant that Moses cost himself 40 years in the wilderness and the children of Israel 30 years extra bondage that was not God's will. So if you want to count statistics, look at it this way. Moses was counting God, 10,000 people a year for 10 years. That's 100,000 people. What he failed to realize is 30 years extra bondage, 10,000 people a year times 30, which would be 300,000 people dying that God never intended under that slavery. See, you can't count statistics. We think about, man, these movie stars, these sports figures, we've got to get them out there and reach as many people as we can. And we ignore the instruction about not being a novice. And we just ignore God's timing and all of these kind of things. And we stick them up there. But then after they've got the platform, how many people do they turn away from the gospel because of their failure? How many people have you ever heard of in ministry who were called and had an anointing on their life, but because they hadn't matured and didn't have the maturity? How many ministers do you know of that fell into sexual sin, misappropriated money? How many people have you run across their path that they said, I would have been a Christian if it hadn't have been for this? Do you know Mahatma Gandhi was exiled in Africa at one time, and he studied all the religions of the world. And he said that he was convinced that Christianity was the true religion after studying the Bible. And he went to a Presbyterian church for the purpose of making Jesus his Lord and converting to Christianity. And because he was black, they wouldn't let him into the church. And Mahatma Gandhi left there and he said, I would have been a Christian if I hadn't have met one. And he led 750 million people into pagan worship in the nation of India because of somebody who was in ministry who didn't have enough maturity to even discern that that was prejudiced and that this was not God's will. I tell you what, it's not enough to just know what God's will for your life is. You have to know God's plan and God's timing for you accomplishing that will. And many of you are frustrated, and yet God's got you on the back burner trying to keep you from destroying His purposes and plans for your life. We're going to take a brief break. We're going to advertise a tape that I have on this, and then I'll be right back.
Andrew's teaching titled, God's Man, Plan, and Timing is available on a single CD, request item number TU5, when you contact us. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. This teaching is also available for download absolutely free on our website. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. And now, Gospel Truth continues.
So I've been sharing some really powerful things about how to fulfill God's will in your life. And specifically, the point that I've been making is that Moses knew God's will for his life, but he tried to accomplish it in his own strength and in his own power by killing a man. And he was also totally ignorant or either disregarded the instruction about the timing of God's purposes for his life. According to Genesis chapter 15, God prophesied that the Israelites would spend 400 years in captivity. And yet Moses killed the Egyptian in the 390th year of their captivity, 10 years early. Now, some of you, here's another thing that we can glean from Moses' life. Some of you have this way of thinking, that if God showed me what He wanted me to do, if God was to show me, say, for instance, that He called me into the ministry, or that God wants me to start a new business, or that, you know, anything that God would lead you to do. There's a lot of people that just reason and say, if God showed that to me, why would He show it to me now if He didn't want me to do it? Certainly the fact that Moses knew what God's will for his life, that should have been reason enough for Moses to go ahead and pursue it and try and bring it to pass. But see, here's what you miss is that most people take a long period of time to get usable. God has to reveal His will to you in advance of the time that He wants you to actually accomplish that will, because it takes a period of time for Him to work the character and the maturity into you that you need. You know, like I told you on an earlier broadcast, I've spent a lot of time studying Bible characters. And out of my study, if Moses would have waited 10 years from the time God revealed his will to him until he went out and tried to accomplish it, if he would have waited, that would have been the shortest period of time preparation of anybody in the Word of God. Now, that may not bless some of you. Again, some of my Bible college students get really upset because they are expecting upon graduation just making Billy Graham step down and replace him within the next month or so. They just can't believe that they're supposed to wait 10 years before their ministry really opens up. In my ministry, you know, the Lord called me in 1968 and I started ministering immediately. I'm not telling you that you don't minister, that you don't do what God tells you to, but I'm saying that there's steps and you won't really begin to see the fulfillment for a period of time. So I was called in 1968. I pastored churches. I did a lot of things. But the Lord spoke to me in 1999, I believe it was, and told me I am just now beginning to fulfill what He called me to do. Some people, that would discourage you. Some people, you'd think, oh, man, that's terrible. But you know what? That's my own personal testimony. Again, if you want to look at people in the Bible, Joseph was shown God's will when he was 17 years old, and yet he was 38 or 39 years old when his brethren finally came and bowed down to him, and he saw God's will fulfilled. And so that was 39. That was 22 years, but it was he was 30 years old when he finally stood in front of Pharaoh. So that would have been 13 years before he even began to see God's plan for his life come to pass. You look at David. David was a minimum of 17 years. Some people think it could have been as much as 20 years from the time that David was anointed until he became king over the thing. In the New Testament, you can look at the Apostle Paul. And when he was converted on the road to Damascus, it was 14 years later when Barnabas came and got him, and he first began to start ministering in the church that was at Antioch. And you can just go down the road, and every person that God used, it took a period of time for God to prepare them and get them ready. I don't know why that's so hard for us to understand. When you look at people and how carnal we are and how messed up we are, and to think that for some of us to take 10, 15 years to get usable, I tell you what, that's the grace of God that allows it to happen even in that amount of time. So the point that I'm making is that, see, some people say, well, then why did God show Moses his will 10 years before it was time for him to do anything about it? Because it takes about 10 years minimum for us to get usable. You know, I remember when the Lord first touched my life, I used to pray and say, oh, God, use me, God, use me, God, use me. And I just plead with God. And finally, one day the Lord told me, He says, I'll use you when you get usable. He says, quit praying for me to use you. He says, I want to use you more than you want to be used. He says, you need to start praying, oh God, make me usable. And you know, I changed my focus and I quit worrying about God using me. And I just started seeking God and letting God work in my life. And I mean, God has flung open the doors. I really believe that if you're praying, oh God, use me, then it's an indication that you aren't usable, because God wants to use you more than you want to be used. What you need to do is focus on your heart and getting yourself ready. And this is the reason that God spoke to Moses at least 10 years before it was time for Moses to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. It was because Moses had to get some things ready and done on the inside of him. And here is another great truth. Boy, this is going to really rile some of y'all's theology. But you know, you remember when you saw the Ten Commandments, that show by Cecil B. DeMille, and Moses was led out of Egypt and he went into the desert. And as he was walking along and he was getting faint, and he fell down, and he was crawling on his hands and knees through the desert. The narrator came on and says, so he goes into the desert, where, you know, into the scorpions and the venomous beast, where prophets and men of God are made, and God's breaking him and humbling him. And anyway, basically what they're saying is that that was God's will. God wanted him to go through a wilderness. God wanted him to spend 40 years in the desert. This is the way that God makes a great man or woman of God, is to put you through all this hardship and trials. That is not scriptural. The Bible says in James chapter 1, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But we are drawn away of our own lust and enticed. It's our own problems that cause these hardships. God's plans and purposes for you are nothing but good. If you're struggling and if everything's going wrong in your life, it is either your self-will that got you into that situation, or it is a direct demonic attack of the devil, but it is not God who willed you to suffer. That isn't it. Here was God's plan for Moses. God revealed His will to Moses while Moses was in Pharaoh's palace. And, you know, I can't prove this from Scripture, but you can't disprove it. I believe that it was God's will for Moses to make the changes, to develop the maturity. And if Moses would have submitted himself to God and have just yielded himself, he could have spent those 10 years in the lap of luxury in Pharaoh's palace, eating all of the things that were served him, having all of the acclaim of people. He did not have to go through the desert, through suffering, through hardships and all of these kind of things. That was his self-will and him going out and killing a man that caused that entire wilderness experience. Brothers and sisters, God has a plan for your life. And you know what? If you continue to seek God, you will eventually fulfill it. But there is a right and a wrong way to fulfill it. There's an easy and a hard way to fulfill it. You know, my life is a testimony to this. And sometimes I'm hesitant about sharing my testimony because some people think that I'm bragging. Other people think that I'm trying to say that if you've had a problem, that something's wrong with you. And I'm not saying that at all. But you know, God revealed Himself to me when I was a young kid. I got born again when I was 8 years old. I have sought God my entire life. And when I was 18 years old, I had a miraculous encounter with the Lord, March the 23rd, 1968. And you know what? I haven't gone through the hardships that the average person has gone through. I have lived a blessed life. One time I was sharing this with a group of ministers in Chicago, and there was a man there, a guy that I really respect. He's a good friend of mine. And this guy grew up in extreme poverty. He was a dope addict. His parents were alcoholics and drunk, and he told stories about just running around in his underwear for weeks and months at a time. Zero clothes. Didn't go to school. He was in a mental ward when he got born again. Anyway, he's now pastor of a church, and God's using him in a great way. But when I was sharing my testimony about how blessed I was looking at him, and I knew his testimony, and I was embarrassed. I felt kind of bad. Like, I told him, I said, "Rob, I'm sorry." I said, "It sounds like, you know, God just loved me more than you. I don't know why things worked good for me and they didn't work good for you." And I was kind of apologetic about my testimony. Boy, he came right back to me. And he says, "You know what? I can remember times that God spoke to me when I was 6 and 7 years old, and He put dreams in my heart and things that I'm doing now. I had thoughts of that when I was a little kid." And he says, "But I rejected them." He says, "I could have chosen a different path. My life could have gone a different direction." He says, "You don't need to apologize because you made some right choices and responded to God." He says, "There was a different path for my life. I didn't have to get to where I am the way I got there." And boy, that really encouraged me. And you know what? I believe that's true of everyone. Now, God can use wherever you are and whatever you've come through. Matter of fact, in some ways, you can have a great testimony. If you live through your drug addiction and alcoholism and all of your things that you do, if you live through it, it makes a great testimony. But you know what? There's many people that have never lived through it. That is not the easy way. God doesn't will for you to have problems, and it's through your problems that He makes you complete. The Bible says in Timothy, I think it's 2 Timothy, it's either 1 or 2 Timothy 3:16, that the Word of God is by inspiration of God, and it is given to us for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God's Word is given to reprove you and to correct you, and it will make you perfect and complete. You don't have to have hardships and trials. Now, I'm not saying that you don't have them. I've had mine. I'm just saying I haven't had as many as some people. But nobody follows the Lord exactly perfectly. We all learn by hard knocks. But I'm saying don't make that your goal. Don't go out and just see how stupid you can be and make these mistakes and learn from them. There's a better way. And if you would be like the opposite of Moses, and instead of self-willed and find out God's timing and wait upon God, God could lead you in a way that you would mature and gain the experience that you need without a lot of the hardship. Man, that's good news. I tell you, if you could receive what I've talked about today, this could save some of you making some major mistakes in your life. We're running out of time today, but we do have a tape on this. Our announcer is going to offer that to you. And I want to encourage you to join me again tomorrow as we continue to talk about God's man, plan, and timing.
Andrew's teaching titled God's Man, Plan, and Timing is available on a single CD for a gift of any amount. Request item number TU5 when you contact us. This teaching is also available for download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side. There you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll discover a wealth of resources free for you to download for yourself and share with others. There are over 500 teachings at your fingertips and more than 10 years of TV broadcast you can view right there on the web. There's also over 12 years of radio programs available for download as MP3 or for you to listen to online. Again, it's free as you navigate through the pages of awmi.net. If you prefer, you can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline operators are standing by to take your call.
I know that the Holy Spirit has convicted many of you today watching this broadcast, and maybe you're thinking, boy, this is hitting me. Now I know why I've experienced a lot of the things that I have. And you're just wanting more. Man, I wished I could pray with you, but you know, it's impossible for me to do that. But I do have people standing by at our phone center. They're there for you. And you can order this tape that I'm offering on God's man, plan, and timing. But also, they'll pray with you. And I believe that there's some of you that the Holy Spirit would lead to do that. They could be a great blessing. So please call the number that you see on your screen and do it today.
Again, that telephone number is 719-635-1111. Or you can write to us. Our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. The address is at the bottom of your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I want to give you a special invitation to join me in Phoenix, Arizona. We have struck a deal with the Arizona Biltmore Resort. It's a four-diamond resort that starts, the normal room rates start from $300 and go up from there. And we've negotiated a price of $139 for this special New Year's celebration. They're going to give that price for 3 days before and 3 days after. So you can come and enjoy a vacation in a first-class resort. Plus, get the Word of God. Remember, it's our New Year's Gospel Truth Seminar in Phoenix, Arizona.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar November 12th through the 14th, and in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar December 31st through January 2nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
You can never rush the plan of God, but you can delay it.